we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Our starting line on the Sunny Side of Sports is African athletics. Kenya's Nancy Kiprop is hoping to become the first woman to win the Vienna City Marathon title three times on Sunday when she lines up on the starting line in the Austrian capital. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Nancy ahead of the race, described as Austria's biggest sporting event. Here's Andy.
I'm talking with Nancy Kiprop of Kenya, who has twice won the Vienna City Marathon title, and no woman has ever won it. A hat-trick of titles in Vienna, and she is a much-respected figure here, and a lot of people know about not only her running, but also the school that she's founded thanks to her prize money she's won in Vienna and elsewhere back home near Iten in Kenya. But first of all, Nancy, you had a great run in Frankfurt last October. You ran a personal best running 2:22. If you could run that again on Sunday, that would be a course record. What do you think the chances are?
Thank you very much. Once again, I'd like to say thank you very much for Vienna City Marathon organization and the entire people, very good people, very welcoming people. I'm very excited to be here once again. And through my personal best in Frankfurt, I'm hopefully going for it again here in Vienna, and I hope it shall be well with me. I'll be very happy if I run around 2:22 to 2:23. It will be a very great achievement for me.
How do you rate the Vienna course? Because the weather can be pretty warm. It was warm last year. You ran 2:24. Is it an easy or a tough course?
Vienna City Marathon course is a perfect course. As per other marathons, as you compare with other marathons, but the challenge is only the weather. Sometimes weather varies, but the course is perfect.
You are, if I may say so, of mature years. You're sort of touching 40, but you seem to be running better than ever. What's the secret?
It's like a consistency in running. I've been running for a long time, and I think the secret is that you have to be self-disciplined, be motivated, and don't lose focus. Be focused in your life.
Now, a lot of people by now know about this school in Chesitek near Iten, where you grew up. You founded that school a couple of years ago, and it's really growing. It's going well. You've got, I think, over 120 school children, you were saying at the press conference just now, and seven teachers. So you must be very pleased with that progress.
The progress is going on very well, and it is very welcomed in the community. The community says that the people who are giving the children, they are very happy with my work, and they are motivating me. They are part of me. I'm the part of the society, and everybody is excited about my work. There is no other work in that place that has been established by one person, and they see as a motivation, and they see me as a role model, and they really support me.
Are the children all from the local homes? How do they come to you?
From the local home, they come by work. They work, or they are brought by their parents every morning, and they come for them in the evening. But around Iten, I have many children from Iten town, from where I live. They are going to school through the school van.
And the school takes in children who are quite young, up to 18 years of age. How young are your youngest children?
The government now requirement is that we should be taking children before four years old. And for me, because it's a challenge to the parents having young kids at home, most of the parents are working. So I established a kindergarten where the parents drop the children as early as 3.5 years. They drop to the school and they leave for the work and they come in the evening. So I have a kindergarten, and it's the largest number now. We have around 40 children in the kindergarten.
Just finally, is this school extra motivation for you, this project? Because all top runners like you, you're something special. You're the elite. You know, you have not only physical talent, but in your head, you're strong. But does this give you something extra, knowing that some of your prize money can go to the school?
Yeah, it gives me extra motivation because my entire work now depends, my entire school depends on my work. I need to run, I need to do good so that I can get money to continue keeping up the spirit. And it is something that comes from the heart. This is not something that you go to class and learn about it. It's something you do from your heart and you deliver. So it's different with the other businesses.
Nancy Kiprop, all the best for the Vienna City Marathon on Sunday and good luck with the school. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you and welcome.
Delivering straight from the heart. That's Kenyan athlete Nancy Kiprop, the defending women's champion in Sunday's Vienna City Marathon. And Nancy was talking with the energetic Andy Edwards in the Austrian capital. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The energetic Andy Edwards also caught up with one of the top contenders for the men's title in Vienna. Once again, here's Andy.
Robert Chemisan already knows what it's like to win the Vienna City Marathon men's title. He won in 2016. He's back now, 2019 edition. Can you compare your shape, Robert? I mean, are you feeling confident because you know you've won this race before? How good do you feel going into Sunday?
For now, I feel comfortable because I've trained well. I've made my training to be better. And I think I will run better than 2016.
What are your impressions of the Vienna City Marathon course? We know it can be warm weather sometimes. We know it sometimes can be windy. But is it a tough course?
Vienna course record course is a flat course, but the problem is that sometimes it be windy, and that makes it to be difficult to run faster. And I think if it will be in a good position to run, good to for no windy, many people run their personal best.
Back in Kenya, in Kaptagat, you're part of the what is now the famous training group of Eliud Kipchoge. Well, he's the kind of boss of the group, not least because he's the world record holder. How long have you been part of that group, and what do you get from being in the same group as the fastest marathon runner in the world?
Yeah, for now I train with the Kipchoge and the elite athletes there, and I'm there for now. I'm here. I have for 1 year now training with them, and I have acquired some skills which they use it when they win their races. And which I have brought here for me now to use it about competing here.
And apart from physically training with the number one in the marathon, do you learn tactics from him? Does he pass on his knowledge for how what to do in a race?
Yeah, he uses some tactics which not anybody cannot use it, and we are happy being with him, and we acquire some skills from him, which is important for us to use it.
Well, Robert Chemisan, all the best for the Vienna City Marathon on Sunday. Thanks, Robert.
Thank you.
And thanks to the energetic Andy Edwards for that interview with Kenyan athlete Robert Chemisan, who won the Vienna City Marathon title in 2016. Robert will be running again on Sunday in the Austrian capital. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free, Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In African football, the draw for the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations tournament will be held April 12th near Cairo, Egypt. The Confederation of African Football, CAF, says the draw for the 2014 Continental Showpiece will be held at a historic place facing the Sphinx and the Pyramids. One of the teams looking forward to the draw is the three-time Nations Cup champion Super Eagles of Nigeria. Former Super Eagles captain Segun Odegbami is hopeful of a successful outing for the Nigerian team at Egypt 2019. Nicknamed Mathematical, the 66-year-old Odegbami earned fame during his playing days for his dribbling skills and the speed and precision of his crossing passes. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Odegbami said the Super Eagles have the young talent to do well in Egypt.
We saw the team play a couple of days ago, two matches, one competitive and one friendly, and we were able to make an assessment into the future. And I can tell you confidently that because it's an African competition and we know our strengths in Africa, and we can already see the signs from the two matches that we have played, there is no way the team will not get to the finishing line of AFCON 2019. We see them getting to the finishing line.
As a former national player, do you think that there is need to make changes in the team before the AFCON tournament?
Well, the most constant thing in football is change. And it depends on the strength of the players that you are able to gather. This team is still under construction, so we must create room and opportunity for new players to come in. So I don't envision that we have the team already. I think that, yes, definitely there will be a few inclusions and a few subtractions from the team that played even a couple of days ago.
You were in Russia to watch the World Cup, and then you watch the Nigerian team. Is there any difference from the team you watch in Russia and the ones you watch in the international friendlies?
Oh, definitely. You know, a few of the players have used Russia 2018 to retire, particularly some critical players. Two of them in particular you cannot miss, the captain of the team and Onazi. Onazi was a strong man in midfield. So between those two players, we have lost something substantial. So the team will be slightly different. I expect that it will be stronger because the players are younger and they are more hungry, and I can see that they are gifted. So this combination and the fact that people are not expecting too much of them will actually make them rise to the occasion and succeed. That's my thought.
Some analysts say that some members of the under-23 national team, like Samuel Chukwueze, Victor Osimhen, and Nwankali, should be brought into the Super Eagles team. What's your take on this?
I don't want to go into those details of technicality. That will now start to create unnecessary controversy and debate. I think we should leave that to the coaches. Geraint Rowe, I saw him, he watched all the games, he has seen all the players, and that evaluation should be his to make, not mine.
That's Segun Odegbami, the former captain of Nigeria's national football team, the Super Eagles. And Segun spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Meanwhile, former Nigeria striker Peter Odemwingie says one of his big regrets is not being a part of the Super Eagles team that lifted the Nations Cup trophy in South Africa in 2013. The 37-year-old Odemwingie has not played professionally since 2017, when he put on the boots for the Indonesian club Madura United. Peter was a member of the Super Eagles teams that finished third at the 2004, 2006, and 2010 Africa Cup of Nations tournaments. Odemwingie says he did everything he could to be a part of the 2013 Nations Cup winning team, but it never happened. That said, Odemwingie says he had an amazing time with the Nigerian national team. He made 63 international appearances and scored 10 goals.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The U.S. Men's College Basketball Championship Tournament has reached the Final Four stage. In semifinal game Saturday evening in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Virginia will play Auburn, and that will be followed by a matchup between Michigan State and Texas Tech. VOA's Jim Stevenson tips off his fun-filled and fabulous Final Four report with Michigan State's head coach.
My dream came true tonight on the floor.
Four teams remain. Four dreams of winning a men's collegiate basketball national title. Tom Izzo led his Michigan State Spartans to a one-point victory over Duke, the overall number one seed in the annual March Madness tournament. Izzo's number of wins against Duke doubled with the 87-86 victory, but
2-11 doesn't make me sleep any better, probably at the end of the year, but I'm going to sleep better tonight. Because that second win, that 50% of the wins I had, sends us to a Final Four.
Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski guided his young Blue Devils team to the Elite Eight round, where he felt his players just didn't match Michigan State.
I thought they played older than we did, you know, but that's happened to us. Look, we are young. So, you know, especially in the first half, I thought we were not ourselves.
Izzo agreed, at least on defense.
To have seven turnovers against a team like that and turn them over 17 times, I thought was the difference in the game. We didn't shoot it great. We didn't rebound great, but we did do a good job with the turnovers.
And as big as the win was, Izzo says more work lays ahead.
Everybody that beats Duke is, you know, ready to put that on the wall, and because that's the program he's built, and you know, that's one I'm hoping to still build. You know, I mean, the respect everybody has for Duke is why it's a big game, but I do think we beat arguably the best team in the country.
Coach K said expectations are always high for Duke. Still, he hoped his players could have gone farther.
This team put themselves in a position to go for it and had a chance for it, and they have had a special year, but this, not going to the Final Four, obviously, is a huge disappointment for us. But I'm proud of them.
Tom Izzo's 2-11 record against Duke nearly matches his Final Four record, where he hopes to double his championship total.
You know, now what I got to do is refocus. You know, we've been there. It's the eighth Final Four, but we've only won one.
Four teams remain, four great stories to be told.
No one has faced pressure like these guys have or this program after losing in that first round. No one's done that in the history of the game.
Last year, Virginia became the first regional top seed ever to lose its opening round game. In a season, the Cavaliers were picked by many to win it all. Coach Tony Bennett and his players used that to push harder this year.
I don't care about the critics. I don't even pay attention to that. I really don't. I just know it's really hard to lose in the first round. It stung. It was, as I said, a painful gift. It was so humbling, but it drew me and drew our team closer in a way that we couldn't have gone.
Matt Painter could only watch as his Purdue team missed winning in regulation time as a Virginia buzzer-beating shot went in to force overtime and then take the game 80-75.
You play a game that seesaws like it did against Virginia, and then you don't get a couple breaks and things don't go your way, and they make a special play there at the end, and that's just part of competition, that's part of basketball, and the other night was pretty cool. You know, today stinks.
Tony Bennett and his father, Dick, become just the second father and son duo to coach teams to the Final Four.
19 years ago, I was sitting in the back of a press conference when my father took his team to the Final Four. They beat Purdue. And they asked him, is this one of the greatest feelings that you've ever had, getting to the Final Four? And he said this. He said, from a feeling state, euphoria, yes, it is. But it doesn't compare with faith, with kids, family, grandkids. He said, because I know what truly matters, it enables me to enjoy what seems to matter like this. I've remembered that quote, and I've tried my best to live by it.
And Tony Bennett also found inspiration from a TED Talk that he shared with his team.
And the quote is this, if you learn to use it right, the adversity, it will buy you a ticket to a place you couldn't have gone any other way. And I didn't know if that meant we'd get to a Final Four or do that. I just knew it would deepen us in ways on the court, off the court, and what we believe, and mark us for the right stuff. And that, I think, is what took place.
I want to
Four teams remain, four chances to make history. Texas Tech was given only a 14% chance to reach the Final Four, but the Red Raiders have, and for the first time in school history.
It's just indescribable, it really is. Like, growing up my whole life watching these press conferences, games and all that, and the guy that always gets there and he says, indescribable, I'm always like, you know, give us something better than that, but I really don't have anything, but it's just indescribable.
Texas Tech coach Chris Beard led his team past regional top seed Gonzaga 75-69 with strong defense that has made Texas Tech one of the two feel-good underdog teams to watch.
I've never minded, you know, taking chances against really good coaches and players. Some games where we think that we can just maybe beat somebody possession after possession, we don't do that, but that was not our thought with Gonzaga. We knew we'd have to play almost a perfect game to beat them, and in a lot of ways we did.
Gonzaga coach Mark Few and his Bulldogs team was on the receiving end of that near-perfect game.
We lost to a really, really, really good basketball team in a great basketball game. Went back and forth, and was very impressed with Texas Tech.
Texas Tech's players have gone from obscurity to the spotlight of the National Basketball Association draft. Their talents known very well and all along by Coach Beard.
We don't mind the underdog chip on the shoulder part of our story, but I think you disrespect our players a little bit. We don't understand. We got really good college players, and I think we're one of the best teams in the country this year.
Four teams remain, four stories already fulfilled.
Could I ask one favor?
Sure.
Could you say the very first part of what you said when you introduced us? Do you remember what it was?
Yes, yeah, the Auburn Tigers going to the Final Four are with us.
Thank you, sir.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
It sounds great.
The Auburn Tigers are experiencing the Final Four for the first time in school history, an achievement coach Bruce Pearl says is long overdue in light of Auburn's championship-caliber teams in other sports.
I knew this group wanted to make history. I knew they wanted to play good basketball, and I knew they wanted to represent Auburn. The other student-athletes on our campus that compete for championships, we're really, really good in all those other sports. We win championships. Been a long time since men's basketball's been good. That's what makes this so special for us.
Auburn reached the Final Four with a 77-71 win over Kentucky, impressing Wildcats coach John Calipari.
They played aggressive. They played tough. They bumped, and it was a grinding kind of game. Two of their guys had 50 points. You think about that. They deserve to win the game. We got outplayed, got outcoached, and still had a chance to win the game. I thought we were going to win the game the whole way until the one or two plays in overtime. Never entered my mind that we weren't going to win the game. Proud of these guys. Proud of my team.
Bruce Pearl had to guide Auburn through the three winningest schools in college basketball history: Kansas, North Carolina, and Kentucky.
It's an honor to even be on the floor with those programs. And then when you play, your kids play hard and play unselfishly and play together, you know, obviously they're the Cinderellas of this tournament. And that's what makes March so special. Which team is it going to be?
Right now it's four teams: Michigan State, Virginia, Texas Tech, and Auburn. How improbable is this group? Out of the 17.2 million brackets submitted by fans on the ESPN tournament site, less than 8,000 or 0.04% correctly selected all four. The semifinal winners in Minneapolis on April 6th tip off for the national championship 2 days later.
Thanks, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. Once again, Saturday's Final Four matchups in Minneapolis. Virginia will play Auburn, and then Michigan State will meet Texas Tech. And that wraps up the April 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Wojtek Zorniak. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important after news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Butte, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
What would you say is more responsible for deaths around the world? Tobacco use, high blood pressure, or other health risks? A new study published in the journal The Lancet suggests having a poor diet carries the brunt of the responsibility for global deaths. The study found that having a diet that's low on healthy foods like dairy, fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, and keeping to an unhealthy diet that includes too much red meat or foods that are highly processed, contain too much salt, sugar, or trans fats, causes one in every five deaths globally. The study authors found 10.9 million deaths, or 22% of annual adult deaths worldwide, were associated with unhealthy diets. 10.4 million deaths were related to high blood pressure, and 8 million died by causes related to tobacco use by comparison. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.